Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Stories of the New Testament, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 36 is entitled The Parable of the Talents.
In the ancient world, a talent was a unit of weight used to measure gold and silver. It varied significantly among different countries. A talent in Old Testament times in Jerusalem, according to some biblical scholars, was 75 pounds. In New Testament times, a talent refers to a very large sum of money. Using 75 pounds as the measurement, imagine the worth of a talent of gold in today's market. We also use the term talent to refer to skills or gifts, often referring to the arts. But of course, the term is generalized to cover any gift of the Spirit. In the parable of the talents, let's assume that the man who distributed those talents among his servants was very rich, and even the one who was entrusted with one talent had great responsibility. Another assumption that we must make is the widow's mite. It did not matter, for example, how many talents each was entrusted with. They were equal in the sight of God. What mattered was what they did with the talents God gave to them. There's no evidence in the parable that the person who was given 5 talents received a greater reward than the person who received only 2 talents. Both doubled the amount. The only one who was cursed was the one who buried his talent. A third assumption that we must make is that Jesus is not talking about money. He is talking about service. More particularly, he is talking about the conditions for entering the celestial kingdom. Let's examine the opening line of the parable.
For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods.
As discussed previously, there are 2 kingdoms of heaven referred to in the scriptures. One is the kingdom of heaven in heaven, which refers to the throne of God. The other is the kingdom of God on earth, which refers to Christ's church, whose purpose is to prepare the children of God to enter the kingdom of heaven. That leads to a third assumption. The servants are servants of God left to build the kingdom of God on earth until Christ comes again. In other words, they are Christians. These are disciples of Christ. Do not confuse disciples just with the 12 apostles. For example, let's allow Paul to give us a description of who a disciple is.
Ephesians 4:11-16. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
A disciple is one who follows Christ. Clearly, each person referred to above has a different weight of responsibility. We could even, perhaps, compare the apostles and prophets to those who received 5 talents, and the others with lesser responsibility receiving fewer talents. It is important to note, however, that position and even responsibility, though necessary to the building up of the kingdom of God on earth, is not relevant to their final reward. What is relevant is what they do with the talents entrusted to them. Again, I remind you of the widow's mite. As you can clearly see from the above, everyone matters. Everyone must do his or her part. Essentially, all members of Christ's church are charged with edifying the body of Christ, bringing everyone to the unity of the faith, teaching everyone the knowledge of the Son of God, contributing to the perfecting of the saints, bringing everyone to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Consider the role of parents in the home. Are they not disciples of Christ? In Christ, everyone is necessary that the whole body be fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That gives you some idea of why the one who buried his one talent came under such condemnation. Every member or every part of the body is important. Remember one of the first lessons Christ taught his apostles. The context was this. James and John, with their mother, came to Jesus asking Jesus that he allow James and John to sit on his right hand and on his left in his kingdom. Notice Jesus' answer.
Matthew 20:24-28. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many.
Nowhere in Christ's teachings does he say that position gives one power over another in the kingdom of heaven. What he says to one, he says to all.
Matthew 7:21-27. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Let's continue with the parable.
And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey.
We learn several things from the above. One, there is an unequal distribution of talents. If we use the comparison of talents with money, we could say the person with 5 talents has many more millions of dollars than the one with 2 talents, who had twice the amount of money than the one with 1 talent. Does the amount really matter if money in the kingdom of God in heaven is irrelevant? The answer is no. Next, they were given talents according to their several abilities. Though equal in the eyes of God, they were not equal in ability. That is the nature of our fallen world. In heaven, that will be restored, for as the parable of the talents makes clear, to those who are faithful, Christ promises, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. However, on earth we deal with what we have. It is desires of the heart, intent, and the willingness of the heart that matters. Again, let's turn to Paul.
1 Corinthians 12, 2 through 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
Notice that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Again, Paul further emphasizes the importance of every member of Christ's church.
1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 31. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
Please join us next week as we continue the parable of the talents and learn more about the more excellent way.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.